They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Val. Just turn myself on. Am I all okay? Yeah, great stuff. Lovely to see you all here today. Add my welcome to Ed and those of others. Great to see you. Super to have you here. My name's Jude, for those of you who don't know me. I'm part of the church and the vicar. Good to be here. Wasn't that a great reading about Christian life together? Yeah, great reading, encouraging from the early church. Inspiring reading. For myself, I didn't become a Christian person until I was 23. I'd been through university. It was my first job after university. And I had a life-changing experience of God. I had a life-changing experience of Jesus. And if you'd like to know a bit about that, do ask me sometime. Everything was different. But the truth is, I didn't really like the church. Didn't really like churchy stuff. I was very skeptical of organized religion. Yeah? Anyone relate to that? Yeah, still am. Yeah, pretty skeptical. skeptical of organized religion. And actually, the church, you know, in so many ways, to me, the church just felt a bit weird. I didn't like the church. Slight irony that I'm now a vicar, but there you go. But I did eventually go to church in 1998. I can remember the morning, and I was just, for whatever reason, decided this was the morning I was going to go. And I got into my car, and I drove out, and didn't really know where I was going. I drove around, and I saw this church building. It just happened to be a sort of middle-of-the-road Anglican church. And I drove into the car park. There were people walking in. I drove in, and I, you know, sort of plucked up the courage to, I'm going to go in. And I went in, and I was met by a small, slightly fragile, but wonderfully loving and welcoming Christian community, who kind of loved me back into life over a few years in that place. And I have an overwhelming sense from the Bible, from texts like we just looked at, but also from personal experience. I have an overwhelming sense that God calls us together to be the church. That life together in the church is a good thing for us. God knows what he's doing in calling us together as the church. You know, our Christian faith, it's experiential, it's personal. You know, it's about our personal relationship with God. But our faith is also communal. Yeah? It's communal. It's about our life together. It's about the quality of our relationships together. It's how we do life together, our life together. And God wants us to inhabit that. And that's what we're looking at today. And a quick reminder, Ed's shared already, but this whole rule of life, values thing. So, you know, start of the academic year, every year we go through our values. We want to remind ourselves what we're about as a church family. Someone once said to me, you know, Jude, what does it mean? What does it mean to follow Jesus at the church which you're part of? And of course, it means lots of different things, doesn't it, to follow Jesus wherever you are, and certainly here at St. James. But one of the ways we talk about it, we try and talk about it in helpful ways. We talk about loving God, living in community, growing in faith, serving others, building God's kingdom. You know, love, live, grow, serve, build. These values that try and give us a bit of a shape to our rhythms of life and our shared life together. And if we keep those things in balance, then we'll be doing quite well. Yeah? So that's what we're looking at over the next 5 weeks. And we're doing it within this lens of the diocesan rule of life. And I'd encourage all of us, we'll do more of this over the coming weeks, but ruleoflife.org.uk, you can even pull it up now if you want, ruleoflife.org.uk. There's loads of resources in there, basically to help us follow Jesus better. And we're sort of mapping some of the rule of life resources onto our values and helping us think from a diocesan, big Liverpool perspective and here at St. James, what does it mean to follow Jesus faithfully? Yeah, that's where we're going over the next 5 weeks. So with that in mind, should we have a look at our text? Yeah, you might want to have your Bibles open in front of you. We're in Acts chapter 2, of course. Thank you, Val, for reading the end of Acts chapter 2. So the context here, the background, if you like, to this passage. So Jesus has ascended into heaven. Jesus has returned to the Father. The Holy Spirit has been given to the church on the day of Pentecost. You're seeing revival breaking out in the early church. This promise of the Spirit, this long-awaited gift of God's presence, dwelling amongst God's people. That's what God's people have been waiting for. The Spirit has been given, and God is on the move. And there was this sort of small band of sort of kind of quite fearful and fragile followers of Jesus. And suddenly there was boldness and there's confidence. And Peter's just preached this amazing sermon. Peter, who's like, you know, running in the other direction, has just preached this great sermon. And people are responding. 3,000 people have come to faith and the church is beginning to grow. And in this little section, 42 to 47, we see, I think, different characteristics, different element, different areas of like of church life, of life together. And it's worth just seeing and noting what they are. So verse 42, they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. Devotion to the apostles' teaching. We see devotion as well to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Verse 43, there are signs and wonders in their midst. And verses 44 to 46, we see this sort of sharing of possessions. The believers were together, had everything in common. There's regular meetings together. They meet in the temple, but they also meet in people's homes. What does it say here? They broke bread and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Yeah, so lots of eating together, which is always a good thing, too. And then verse 47 at the end, there are these good relations with people. They enjoy the favor of all the people. Good relations with people outside the church. And then people coming in, adding daily to those who are being saved. So there's a powerful movement in, deep relationships within the Christian community, within the followers of Jesus. And there's a movement out, new people coming in to that church fellowship. Now, I remember, I don't know how you feel sort of reading that and thinking a bit about that, but I remember years ago now at a different church doing a Bible study on this passage and talking a bit about the passage. And you know, actually feeling almost a bit sort of flat, a bit deflated after reading it. Has anyone ever felt that reading this one? Because you read it and it's dramatic, it's radical. Maybe a bit more radical than what we're used to. Anyway, I was feeling a bit down on myself, a bit down on the church in the group. And then one of the folks in the group said, "Yeah, hold on a second, Jude. Hold on. Look at the different elements of life here. Actually, all of these things are happening in our community. Look, we do have a focus on teaching, on learning from the Bible. We do have good friendships. People do eat together. They are worshiping and praying together. We have seen signs and wonders. Prayers are answered within our church family. There is have been healings. There have been transformed lives. And we do share our resources together. There is generosity. And we see, good relationships beyond the church. And we see people coming to faith. Jude, we see all these things. And I was like, yeah, you're right. We do. And the same is true. The same is true for us here at St. James. And I think sometimes we can see these sort of radical pictures and they're a bit sort of dramatic. We think that's like something distant from us. But actually we see all of those things at work here. And I think we should feel good. I think we encourage each other. For those of us who maybe can, lean on the more convicting and challenging side sometimes. Actually, this church didn't even exist 10 years ago. And we see all of these things happening today in our life together. It's a good thing. I think the challenging question, because there is a challenging question, the challenging question is the extent, isn't it? It's the extent to which these things are normal for us, the extent to which we're stepping into these things. And as we read a text like this, and as we sort of meditate on it and allow ourselves to sit with it, I actually think what happens is that the Holy Spirit can just begin to sort of whisper to us within, just bring areas to life maybe, where perhaps we could step forward or we could step deeper into something. Maybe God's got more for us in a certain area. Maybe God's got more for others through us. Yeah? God's got more for others through us if we step a bit deeper into this picture of the church. And so it's a bit of a simplification, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to split this passage into five areas. I'm going to have a little look at each area. And I'd encourage us, let's be asking that question, you know, is there an area? You know, you might want to go for all five. If you want to go for all five, go for all five. But you might just want to pick one area, maybe two areas, but actually just allow God to say something. You know, let's be listening out for how God's going to speak to us today. Has God got more for us, more for others through us from this text, yeah? Okay, that's where we're going. More for us this year. Up for that, T? A little bit of a challenge there. Yeah, stepping deeper into life together. Come on, sorry, T. for all of us, how does God speak? Let's have a look. Sue. So first of all, we see this devotion, as we said, to the apostles' teaching. What does that mean? What does that look like for us? Well, I think that's broadly equivalent to learning together from the Bible. Learning together from the Bible. As Ed was saying a bit about last week. Now, there's loads of ways we can learn together from the Bible. Sundays, hopefully, you know, preaching team do their best. Hopefully there's a space here on a Sunday where we can learn together. I think what's lacking a bit on a Sunday is that we, just because of the way we do Sunday church, is there's not always as much space, is there, to ask a difficult question or just to kind of wrestle with it a bit, yeah? You know, so you know, Sam's sitting there thinking, I'm not sure I agree with this, Jude. You know, we you can't interrupt the sermon that much. I mean, maybe once or twice. I don't know. You could try. There's not as much room for discussion. Now, Ray's very good at this because those of you who know Ray. After the sermon, Ray will give me like a detailed critique of the sermon. He's not around, is he? He'll be here this afternoon, which is a good thing as well. We can talk about it over coffee and stuff, but actually it's limited how we can really sort of get to grips with this stuff. That's why connect groups are so important, such a much better space to really talk and discuss and wrestle and do those difficult questions together. And so, as Ed was encouraging us last week, I encourage everyone, let's be part of a connect group, part of a midweek group. There's loads starting. So we've got Mondays, what we're calling Students Connect. It's part of Mammoth. Students Connect on a Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we've got connect groups meeting in different homes across the church. We have Youth Connect, John and Kirsty's, on Thursdays. Did I just rename that then? I think I just renamed it. Okay, could be Youth Connect, maybe Youth Group, something. On Fridays and Saturdays, we've got Families Connect, of course, meeting together now, new rhythm for those guys meeting. Growing Disciples Connect. No, definitely not. Growing Disciples starts a week on Monday. And then we've also got these three other congregations outside of the Sunday where we're opening the Bible and learning together. So we've got the Minis Extra on Thursdays. We've got the Brewery, which John was talking about, up at Handyman, starting on Wednesday. Very exciting. And then a week today, we've got our first youth congregation, Burn, starting 6 o'clock last Sunday in the month. For 14s and upwards. Everyone's welcome. Students, love to have you in the room, supporting and encouraging those guys. But lots and lots of spaces for us to open the Bible and to sort of wrestle with it and grow together. And of course, the root of this is becoming more like God, is it? More like Jesus, learning to follow Jesus best. That's the heart of it. That's why we see it at work in the life of the early believers, in who we are and what we do. Just as an aside on this, you know, so I've been here for 7 years or so, and I've loved to see at St. James just this passion that so many people have for justice in the world. And we do loads of stuff. Bede used to run this peace and justice group, and then for years, and then we've kind of we're doing this work with Four Wings on a Wednesday now that the building's sort of a bit more operational, and we're partnered with Just Love to get the student Just Love justice charity going in the city, and we're working with the Whitechapel. They've got their sleep out coming up in a few weeks' time. Do check in for that, by the way. We give lots of money from the church giving away to sort of charities that are seeking God's justice in the city. And loads of you guys are working in, you know, for charities or organizations that are really geared into what God is doing, bringing justice in the city. And just as I was just preparing this, it just occurs to me, of course, that this heart for justice doesn't come out of nowhere. Yeah? It doesn't come out of nothing. It comes out of folks meeting together, looking at God's word together, opening the Bible, bringing our conversation, our stories, into conversation with God's story. Bringing the story of this building with all that sort of historic, sort of, some of you know, some of the historic injustice that has been part of this building's story. Being in conversation, bringing those things into conversation with God's word and saying, actually, well, how are we agents of God, making a difference, you know, seeking more and more of God's justice in the city. And that's the kind of stuff that gets birthed when we read God's word together, when we challenge and encourage one another. And I can't wait to see what more God has for us in that space as we read his word and challenge, encourage one another. Exciting? Yeah, come on, it's going to be good. Bring it on, Lord. Great, so we see a devotion to the apostles' teaching. We also see a devotion to fellowship. To fellowship. Fellowship, translated, the Greek is koinonia, if you know that. Funny words. It kind of implies this sort of strong spiritual connection, this real connectedness between people at a deep level. It's about intimacy, it's about shared life. I kind of like the translation, deep spiritual friendships. Yeah, deep spiritual friendships, really going on the journey with one another. And I am glad that I stuck with the church despite my skepticism. I am glad because when I look back on my life, 20 years or so of following Jesus, I've been able to take all the big decisions, all the really big decisions that I've made in life, I've been able to take them into conversation with people I trust and people I'm on the journey with, yeah? So the job I'm doing or the job I'm going for, where I'm living and working, decisions, big decisions, getting married, having children, you know, just big life stuff, how I spend my money, you know, taking those big life decisions and sort of offering them in conversation with people I'm journeying with. And it's made such a difference. I know that I would have made some howlers, you know, some really bad mistakes if I had just got on and done what I thought was right. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, that's what we're here for, isn't it? Yeah? You know, we journey with one another, we share our stories, we bring these things into conversation. And, you know, it is very common, you know, in this busy life that we live, it's very common to hear people say, you know, I've got this new job and, oh, it's just all so manic and I'm just not sure how I'm going to cope, or, you know, we're both working and just the pressures of life are just too intense, and or I'm going to do these studies or go and do this course and I'm just not sure how I'm going to manage to do it. And sometimes these are right decisions and these are good decisions. Of course they are. But sometimes we just need to bring some of our decision-making into conversation with one another. Say, actually, is this good? Yeah, I'm thinking about making this decision. Is this good for me, for family, for friendships, for my studies, for my work? Is this good for my walk with Jesus? Is this the right thing? Do you know what I mean? And we're here, aren't we? We're here to help one another on that journey. So make sure you're in a connect group. Make sure you are journeying with friends who you can share your life with. And make sure as well that, and I should encourage you on this one, make sure that we are playing our part. Yeah? In other people's lives as well. Yeah, let's not always just run the equation of like, well, what am I, you know, what role have we got to play in that connect group, listening, blessing, encouraging, challenging others? That's what we're here for. Cool stuff. So a devotion to apostles' teaching, a devotion to fellowship. Thirdly, signs and wonders. We're starting Alpha in a few weeks' time, after half term, shorter Alpha this term. But one of the things I love about Alpha is just over a period of a few weeks, all these people who don't know each other at all, in the melting pot, suddenly sharing some of the deepest aspects of their life together. It's just amazing, taking these steps of faith. And one of the highlights of Alpha is the Holy Spirit Day. And we often meet here in church, and we learn about the Holy Spirit, and then we ask the Holy Spirit to come. And it's just a very special moment, and people respond in different ways. And I can remember one of our students, Jack, this is the Holy Spirit just coming, and Jack just being like overwhelmed by God's presence and not really knowing how to deal with it. And actually Jack, he got up and he ran out of church. And he basically half sort of ran, half sort of walked, half sort of stumbled his way around the church. I think he went around seven times or something like that around the church. And then he came back in and he just like sat in a chair and gave his life to Jesus. Yeah, he'd experienced something so unbelievably good. He just couldn't, like, he had no frame of reference for it. God's presence. He encountered God's presence. And I want to encourage us to be expectant this year. Yeah? To be expectant. You know, when we meet together on Sundays, in our groups, in other ways, let's be expectant for God's presence, for prayers to be answered, for healings, for transformed lives, for God to be close. Yeah, Matt is so good at this, like just calling, before we have a little prayer group before the service starts, and he's calling people, let's be expectant, guys, today to meet with God. Yeah? And if I'm honest with you, I think this is the thing that I just feel God's really nudging me on. At the moment, just to be really expectant this year. Now, I don't want to miss out, yeah, on the stuff God has got for me, but for us too. Signs and wonders. Fourthly, generosity. Generosity. I think one of the most challenging things from this passage is the generosity, the radical generosity of this early church. Yeah, sharing, having everything in common, sharing their possessions. It's quite extraordinary. Now, we've been out doing freshers this week, and John Lahr was out with us, you know, on the 2 days that you decided to work for St. James, which is wonderful. John was out with us at the freshers events, and if I get this right, John, I think just before he came, John had this little nudge. Just felt the Lord, just give him a little nudge on the shoulder. Maybe just take your Bible. Maybe just take your Bible in today. So John, obedient as he is, just took his Bible with him, and he was sitting at the table, and this guy came over, Roman Catholic guy, and got chatting. And this guy was saying how, you know, he's just trying to follow Jesus, but he didn't have a Bible. John's like, right. Lord, is this the moment? And John's like, would you like to have my Bible? Just right there, just straight up. Would you like to have my Bible? And he gave him his Bible. And this guy was just, he was just so excited, wasn't he? He was so made up. I'm not quite sure whether it was the Brother Andrew moment that Ed was talking about last Sunday. I mean, I think maybe it was, you know. I don't know if there was tears of joy or, but he was so made up, wasn't he? He was so excited. And it's just, yeah, in the moment. Yeah, the moment just comes and it's gone. Just willing to give. You know, as we go into this year, you know, with our time, or with our friendships, with our finances, with the gifts that God's given us, you know, whatever it is, are there things we're holding on to that maybe this year, maybe it's time, yeah? Just the generosity and the giving away. What does that look like for us, yeah? Generosity. Finally, good relations. Good relationships with those outside the church, good relations out, and people coming in. I love watching the children in this church. I don't know about you guys, but I love watching the children in this church. I know after the service there can be some crazy moments, and it's often my fault. And I just find if I'm sitting down for half an hour, I'm just getting jittery, and I just need to go and wrestle someone, and Jake's there, or Benaiah's there, and suddenly there's a fight going on. And I'm sorry about that. Parents, I apologize, honestly. Really. but generally, I think children have a great time here at St. James. And, you know, we don't hush them up, and we encourage a certain know, a certain freedom and a certain confidence. And I think that's a really good thing. And this year, we're going to be doing a lot more with children, particularly beyond the church, outside the church. Families Connect is starting back up, and we've got loads of sort of invitational events and stuff we're going to be inviting folks into, which is really exciting. Minis, of course, the youth group on Thursday, Burn, a service John's leading for 14 plus. And we're going into St. Hilda's High School this term as well, and we've got these big donut gatherings, and I think the 1,000 donuts might have just come down to 750, but you know, there's a lot of donuts for St. Hilda's. I'm going to be running Youth Alpha off the back of that. And we need folks to help us with this ministry. And you know, I just encourage you, if you children, youth, young people, if God's putting those in your heart, this is a great opportunity to serve this year. But I would love to have more children in church. I'd love to have see more children encountering God. Yeah, encountering God at that key moment of life. And I can remember when I was thinking about it, when I came to faith at 23, actually part of what was going on in my story was that I was reconnecting with God. I was reconnecting with the God who I'd first met when I was 6 or 7 or 8 or something, before I refused to go to church when I was 10 or something. Do you know what I mean? But there was a reconnection, and you know, those early moments, those beginning of that sort of childlike faith can have such a difference on people's lives. I long to see more children encountering God. I'd look online. How many kids in the Anglican schools in the Liverpool region, how many children do you think are in Anglican schools in the sort of Liverpool region? Any ideas? Just Anglican schools. Over 30,000 in Anglican schools in and around the Liverpool region. How many do you think are in church on a Sunday? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's certainly less than 10%. Probably less than 5%. You know, it's not big numbers. And this year we're wanting to create great relationships with children and with families, and we want to see more and more kids coming to faith and experiencing God. And actually, we want that right across the church, don't we? We want that with our students, we want that with our older folks, people of every age. And what does that look like for us this year? What does it look like to have great relationships going out? More people coming in. So, life together. Life together. We've seen learning together from the Bible. We've seen deep spiritual friendships, signs and wonders, generosity, good relationships out, people coming in. And hopefully, in at least one of those areas, we've had some sense, maybe you've got some sense within of actually God saying something today. Maybe a nudge, a whisper, a thought, something in our imagination. Maybe a sense that God is just saying something, speaking something to us today. But, you know, there are challenges. We'll have a chance to respond in a minute. But there are some challenges, aren't there? There's things that get in the way. And so we just want to be real about that before we respond. I remember a student here a few years ago who just started really well, came to everything at the start of the year. But over time, just drifted away, despite invitation, despite encouragement. And it was the pull of, you know, social life and all things university. And I tried to say to them, look, if you do Christian community, if you do some sense of life together, then actually everything else will fall into place. And unfortunately, they missed out on Christian community. And I think they missed out on a whole lot of other things, other stuff as well, because of it. And the same is true, you know, for working people, isn't it? And, you know, older folks. There's all sorts of things that will get in the way. And the busyness of life doesn't stop after university. Actually, it gets worse, if you didn't know. The pressures to earn money, you know, job, better house, this sense of wanting to find fulfillment in the world, the pull of that on us. And as a vicar, you kind of get a sense within a church family, you kind of get a sense of, like, you know, of what is, how to put it, of how together we can grow and find life. And in some ways, my job and Ed's job and many of the staff, our job really is to kind of just to help the church, to be the church. Yeah? Help the church be the church in an authentic sense. And, you know, if you see people out on the fringes, to call them in a bit. If you see people with, you know, gifts and talents and abilities, then maybe it's just a word of encouragement. How can you use those? How can you bring them into the life of the church? And what does that look like to see fulfillment of that out in the world, making a difference for God? And so that's part of the role, to see that gifting and call that out. And so, you know, remember that when I ask you to do the hoovering on a Sunday, or, you know, or clean the kitchen. All the rest of it, but in a sense, it's a simple role in many ways. Sometimes I see someone, I just think, wouldn't it be great if they could just be a bit more involved, playing a bit more of their part in our life together? And of course, you can't say it forcefully. You know, no one wants heaviness, do they? And forceful stuff. But I'll often have that picture in the back of my mind. The picture of the coal fire. Yeah, you've got the burning coal fire, and you know, all the coals are like burning brightly and shining orange and red. And then you take some tongs and you take out one of those coals and you take it out of the fire, and it's burning red and bright and shining. And you take it out, and it's only been out 20, 30 seconds. Suddenly it's black and it's lost at the fire and the spark. You take the coal, you put it back into the fire, and very quickly it's shining bright again. Yeah. So how is God speaking to us, to you today, about this? What does it look like this year, in the year ahead? There's lots of pressures, things that are going to get in the way. But how might we respond to what God is doing? If the band want to come up, that would be great. We need to ask for God's help as we respond. So why don't we respond? Should we stand? If you're comfortable, why don't we stand together? Let's just take a moment just to really recognise God's presence here. As I've been talking and speaking, something else has been going on, hopefully, that God has been speaking into our hearts, just drawing attention to the things that God wants to draw attention to. And so we've got some space just to acknowledge that, to do a bit of business with God on that. It's great when we sort of meet together. We've got it's a safe place, and we can just acknowledge together, hey, yeah, Lord, the Lord is doing this, and I need God's help to respond, but I want more of what God has for me. Yeah? And so that's what we've got this space for now. Yeah, so Father God, by your Spirit, I pray, just continue to speak to us, to impress upon us what you want for us. Help us not to miss, Lord, your call on our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let's just wait for a moment. Reminded of Jesus' prayer, when Jesus prayed for us, he said, Father, make them one as we are one. Yeah, that's the invitation. And yeah, just wanting to create some space for us to respond. If you feel that that God has said something to you today about how we can step further and deeper into life together, into a Christian community. If you've just had a sense of that, then I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Lots of ways we can respond, lots of things we can do. But one thing you might want to do is just to come out. just to come forward, stepping up and stepping out. And this is hopefully just a helpful thing for new students here. If you respond to this, you're not like signing up to St. James's forever, but yeah, this is a response before God about stepping into Christian community in some form this year. So why don't we do that now, if you're comfortable. If you have a sense of God saying something to you personally about stepping into Christian community deeper this year, just come forward. It's all very relaxed. And what's going to happen is the bands are going to play. You might find as they play that you want to come and step forward too. Just do that business with God. But we're going to worship, we're going to pray, and we're just going to see what God does over these next few minutes.
I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
God is moving. God is always moving in our lives and in our hearts. You don't have to come to the front if you want prayer. There's people around you who will be more than willing to pray with you, I'm sure. We're a body together. We're a family together. So do come forward if you want some more prayer. Do talk to the person next to you if you want to pray. But I'm going to close the service up, and there's refreshments at the back if you want it. So let me pray a final prayer over us and a final blessing as well. Lord God, thank you for the goodness of calling us into life together. Thank you, Lord God, that you have made us to be in community and that you've called us to be a family here at St. James. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to move in our lives over this week, that the little nudges and the challenges you've been giving us today, you would remind them of us, and that you would just keep speaking to us, Lord God. And as we go into this week, Father, would your Spirit go with us? So the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with each one of you always. Amen. Do stick around for tea and coffee. Come forth for prayer. We'll talk to the people around you as well if you would like to. And thanks for coming today.